Your Bible's Hebrews 4. Tonight's verse we're going to focus on is verse number 12. Recognizing we're speaking on the power of His Word, that His Word is alive and active. Amen. Verse number 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Amen. So the first thing we want to look at is it's alive and active. The Word is living. Amen. The Word is living. So first, it's living. The thing we're going to look at is to burn, you know. Let's be reminded what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, that "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So when we're talking about this word, Jeremiah is about ready to give instructions by the Lord to send His word to consume some things. His word will also consume evil. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 5:14, it says, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and the people wood, and it shall devour them." And what he was speaking about is the deceivers, the false prophets. He's battled with darkness now. God's not out here sending His word. We're not going around burning people with the Word of God, okay? Well, stop misunderstanding and take it out of context. So first he says to burn. And Jeremiah 23:29, he talks about to break. So let's go there for a minute. And this is in the same light of what he was speaking to. Jeremiah 23. We'll begin to read with verse number 28. I didn't mean to choke you up with that word of fire. Verse number 28 says, "The prophet that have a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that have my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is a shaft to the wheat, saith the Lord?" Or we don't need to add the weeds to it. "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." In other words, Jeremiah is going to speak the word of God, and the true word of God is going to consume the word that's in error. Amen? I believe that for you and I, it's important that we understand. Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And there's so much deception and bending of the truth that it's no longer any truth in it. So we got to be careful that what we hear, if it aligns with the Word of God. Amen? So he says here at first, it's the word lives to burn, to burn up the shaft. It lives to break. I think it's important that it also breaks the stony places around our heart, because sometimes we get a stony heart. Amen? But thirdly, to believe. And in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, the Word of God says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So sometimes if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the word that we're sending forth, sometimes it'll burn up the shaft of the deception of lies and clean out the atmosphere. How many know that our atmosphere we breathe could use a little cleaning?
Yes, amen.
Amen. That we live in a midst of a wicked and perverse world, and it's important for us as men and women of God to be calling forth and speaking forth the word of God. And we're not condemning people. We're condemning what has a hold of people. We're taking authority. All power has been given to me, heaven and earth. Now go ye therefore, he said. And when he said to go therefore, he transferred us power to and authority. Amen. So it's important that he says we're not prophesying false dreams. We're not prophesying false word. We're not speaking lies. We're speaking the truth of God. And as that truth goes out in the atmosphere, it'll accomplish things and turn things around. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we get kind of tongue-tied with sharing the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. Amen. It's his word that transforms and changes things around. Amen. And so many times, I heard this today, and it really spoke to me. And it's like this. Whatever we focus on will expand our thinking. In other words, wherever our focus is, it will expand our thinking. If we're focused on the word, expand our thinking. This man was sharing that I listened to. He was talking about how he worked at the same job for 40 years, and he had pains and he had aches, and he never thought about his pains and his aches because he had purpose to go to work every day. He was focused to go do his job. And all of a sudden, he didn't feel it. But then, when he stopped working after 40 years at the job, he couldn't walk anymore. He couldn't handle it anymore because he didn't have any more focus. And something else had taken the expansion of his thinking. Amen? Because he was missing the focus. So whatever we focus on is what will have us and attract us. So it's important that we have to purpose ourselves. Amen? We have to purpose. We do things with purpose. Amen? We set goals and we purposely walk towards them. You know, the Bible says without vision, the people perish. And if we're walking without vision, we're just bumping around trying to make it. Amen? So we're heading towards a direction. So first, God wants us to understand that the word is living. Okay, it's a living word, okay? Then he says in our text, it's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the divine and the son of our soul and spirit. So in that text we look at there, it's a liberating word. The word is liberating. Liberating. When I look at this, it's there's always, when the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of the Messiah back in Isaiah chapter 11. He speaks about he was called to battle. You know, he came to battle on our behalf. Amen? You know, so many times we say this, but do we really get a hold of it? The battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. Do we ever really truly get a hold of that and grasp that? Or is that just something we say? You know, and it's out of the abundance of the heart there where things happen. So in Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 4, the prophet Isaiah said, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Remember, the word is living. Amen. The word is liberating. Amen. The word, we're not wrestling with people. Remember, principalities, rulers of darkness, spirits of wickedness. As we speak this word forth, it becomes liberating. Amen. In the battle. Are you with me? Am I talking too quick? Everybody here? Anybody absent? Okay. So secondly, I have here on this one to bestow. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul And then, verse number 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Amen? So all power has been bestowed on in the name of Jesus. You know, I constantly remind myself that every name named must bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? So as we're looking at this, we're looking at the power of the word to battle. The power of the word's been bestowed. Amen? It was bestowed on Christ. And then if we say this, we always make this statement. As the Apostle Paul made this statement, it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Okay? All right? So the same power and authority, all right, is residing within you. Amen? For example, if you're looking for the best job in the world, start prophesying the best job. Start speaking it forth, call it forth. Amen? Call it forth and step into it. Amen? I think of what first is, you know, it's the battle to bestow. And then he says in this text here, to brighten. You know, when I think of the glory and the brightness of his coming, look with me in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 16. He said, he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. The word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the body of asunder, the soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. In other words, I don't know, right after that rain that we had a super duper rain, and right after the super duper rain, there was a bright sun that came. I mean, it was almost so bright you couldn't even be in it. Amen? And can you imagine the brightness of his coming? In other words, when God's glory comes into the room, all darkness has to flee. All those clouds and that darkness dissipated and disappeared when the sun broke through. And sometimes you have to wait and look for it to break through. I heard this little story about this little child. He asked his father, well, how big is God? And his father thought about it a minute. He looked up at the sky, and there was this airplane flying in the sky. And he said, he's as big as that airplane in the sky. He said, the little boy said, well, that's not very large. That's just really small. So the father took him to the airport and showed him that airplane. And that airplane was so huge to the child then. He said, Dan, that plane is so big. And the father said, the bigness of the Lord is as close as you are to him. The closer you are to him, the bigger he is. Amen? So he says, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Amen? So he calls us. We serve a great big God. Amen? But he's only as big as your nearness to him. You know? And if you make him small, like all the way in the sky, and he's far away, amen? Sometimes at a distance, your faith, and what he is saying is, you draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Amen? Because he's as big as the distance from between you and him. So first thing he's doing, the word is living. The word is liberating. And the third thing I have is the word is looking. Is looking. L-L-L. I just had to find an L. But now I can do that because now I've graduated. I'm a cornologist. I've got my diploma. Did I get a diploma with that rap? I'd like to have a diploma, okay? Katie, you're funny. And James. So he's looking to supply. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 17. Are y'all with me tonight? Jeremiah 17, 18. The word of God says this. He said, let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. And so, and we're, again, we're not talking about people. We're battling with spirit. This is a spiritual war. This isn't a natural world war. And sometimes we want to take it out on the vessel and not the one that's working through the vessel. So he says here that the word is looking. It's looking to search. And Jeremiah chapter 23, I just got into Jeremiah this week, okay? And Jeremiah 23, verse number 24. He says this. He said, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. So he says that he has sent his word to supply. He's looking to supply. The word also searches our hearts. Remember what he says. The word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the body and soul, of soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So he's looking into our hearts. And then he also gives us the supplement or the help. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. The word of God says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So whatever you may be facing, it's for your benefit if you allow it to minister to your heart and your life. And I'm going to close with Jeremiah chapter 20 tonight and verse number 12. The word of God says, but, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. You know, when we're seeking the Lord, he will be found when we seek him with a true heart. So tonight, in closing tonight, God's word is alive and living to liberate you and I by looking deep into our hearts, searching its intent, and leading us on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, for the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the body and soul and soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner in the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He sent his word. His word is living, it's liberating, and it's looking into our hearts. Any questions, any input, any thoughts? If you could stand, let's please stand then. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we're grateful, Father God, that your word is alive and it's active. It's living and active in here tonight. That you sent your word to liberate us. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind any weapon the enemy is formed against minds, bodies, souls, and spirits in Jesus' name. Father God, I bind those spirits that caught and imprisoned your children, Father God. And I pray those bands be broken, Father God, and those prison doors be open, Father God, and you would just be revealed in such a super duper and mighty way, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for the liberating word, Father God, the word that frees us from bondage, Father God, and for those things that the adversary tries to attach on us, Father God. And Lord, you're looking into our hearts and our lives, and you see us. We're an open book before you tonight, Father God. And we pray, Lord, that you reveal yourself in a supernatural way to us, Father God. Reveal things in our lives that may not be in order, Father God, and help us, Father God, to bring them back into line. I thank you for every man and woman. I thank you for the call of God that's on each and everyone's lives, Father God. I pray blessings upon them, Father God. I pray a fresh measure of the Holy Ghost upon them, Father God. I pray for their faith to increase in Jesus' name. You know, as adversity increases, faith must increase also. So, Father God, I pray that our faith is stirred up and we're active and alive for you, Father God. And, Lord, we'll never cease to give you praise. Be with us as we fellowship together. Bless the food. Bless the time together. We'll never cease to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.